Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another live production of CWSC AM 360 of Keeping It Real. I'm your host, the Princess Karima Aziz. I'll be hosting today's show. Start off by bearing witness, declaring that there is no God worthy of worship, worthy of asking for assistance, worthy of no God worthy of worship, but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. I want to go ahead and get right into today's show. We only got 60 minutes. I'm going to be succinct as I possibly can, but recap of what we've been talking about. We've been getting into with the purpose of destigmatizing mental health maintenance. And then we're talking about some of the things that specifically address, that specifically affect our community, and also giving some biblical references of what Allah says about mental health maintenance. How does He help us with that? And then we're discovering that all along, through every story and every in Quran, He's in detail of man's mind and demonstrates a certain growth and development, or an evolution, if you will. So we're all learning on the show that the man is designed to evolve, and if he does not participate in his own evolution, he will participate in his de-evolution, or remaining stagnant, if you will. So one of the mental health maintenance issues that we were been talking about in the past couple of weeks, as it relates to the question was, what is the most prevalent yet undiagnosed issue affecting specifically our community? And we talked about the issue that affects executive functioning. And what I was hoping to connect was in my way of destigmatizing this so that we can get to the part where we're healing is to show, number one, that it's a part of our normal brain makeup. Number two, it is a brain makeup when we are in a survival mode, I will say that. But as we're learning to thrive, and this is where we're going, we're learning how to thrive. We're seeking to thrive. And on this path of seeking to thrive, we've gotten to the place where we've accepted our freedom from bondage. Or we're working on getting our freedom from bondage. Now, that bondage I want us to look at is an emotional bondage that your soul would be in because you've allowed your emotions to be leading you, if you will. Most of, if not all of, the personality disorders come out of a place where our emotions are somewhat unchecked, displaced, or no longer effective or efficient or useful. So as it relates to executive functioning, when we get to the place where we need help in executive functioning, that be the place where the psychiatrist might say that you have ADHD. So we're familiar with that term. I challenge the name because I'm learning the significance of what we would consider dysfunctions today. They were functions at another place of our existence. So I have an issue buying out that it's a deficiency or disorder. However, when you look at it where you're supposed to be as a human being, then there are some things that are out of order, and it really is a disorder. But I think I'm trying to go too far with destigmatizing the label, if you will. We do want to look at this as something that's normal, as putting on your clothes, zipping your zipper, taking a bath, brushing your teeth. We want to look at it as normal and healthy as that, if you will. And I had great conversations last week with some of the listeners as it relates to executive functioning. I want to share, if I could, my experience speaking to sorors or sisters over this weekend at a sisterhood retreat. I'm just getting back, I want to say, about an hour and a half ago. And it's a sharing. When you've ever been to a retreat, whether it's a sisterhood or brotherhood, there's a place where we're going to share. We're going to share some things that we only can trust in the room, if you will. And so I heard some things. There were some things, some stories that were shared with me, and I'm listening actively from the place of executive functioning, from that place of executive functioning, because that's what I'm focusing on right now. And one, I want to say this, the popular opinion as it relates to parenting amongst my sisters is that we must remain very strong. More likely than not, single parents or unwed mothers, if you will, or disappointing me, or just kind of raise some hairs on my back, was the popular opinion of how strong we need to be over our children, taking on being so masculine and actually sacrificing the nurturing. Case in point, one young lady shared her experience between her and her daughter, and the popular opinion was, your daughter's grown, it's time for you to put her out. Now, in my mind, I heard mom and daughter needs therapy. There's a transition here that neither of them understand, nor do they have the tools or the vehicle to navigate. That's what I heard. That's what I saw after I'm exposing myself to this research that we're doing here on Keeping It Real each week, each and every week. What I saw is that the daughter was asking for assistance in words that the mother couldn't hear, and the mother was giving advice in words that the daughter couldn't receive. They were in different places in their own growth and development. The daughter may have been asking for the mother to show up as the leader, and the mother did not recognize that she was not showing up as a leader, but showing up as the unhealed, fearful version of herself. And so from that, I could see how generational, how the issue perpetuates generationally, and we are not aware of it. We see the professional sisters. I mean, we're getting together because we have skills that we want to use to serve the community and humanity. So we're not We'll just say this: we're what most people would say are successful sisters. So this isn't specific to any socioeconomical level, is what I'm learning now. So I'm learning and appreciating the need for recognizing as parents when our children are struggling. And I think that disconnect is happening because we don't understand that we are struggling. And as we look at, I'm looking at the definition of executive functioning. Generically online, it may fit some people if they're at the point and they need a diagnosis. But for the most part, we don't see that. We don't see how it fits. Like, for example, in a scenario with the mother and daughter, I could see the dysfunctioning in the daughter. And I can also see that evolving of the dysfunctioning in the mother, and their dysfunctions are not getting to the they're not helping. The mom can't help the daughter, and the mom doesn't like this. And I want to discuss this. That the idea of putting your child 18 or whatever year old out in today's society is not necessary. Or is it? That's a question. Is it necessary? Is it necessary that we push them out of the nest at 18? Now, mind you, some of these sisters had sons. They were in the home, 26, 45, 30. So do we raise our daughters and coddle our, is this just an example of us raising our daughters and coddling our sons? Side note. But getting back to executive functioning, I could see this and see generically online, you see, let's go to the list. See things like difficulty organizing. So in your mind, that looks like difficulty organizing your room or your space. That's what I come to. That's what I thought. That's what I think. Difficulty organizing, difficulty in planning and initiating, inability to multitask. That means taking on several things that are important to do, prioritizing each one to get them all done efficiently and effectively. Mood swings, difficulty processing, storing, or retrieving information. So now how did I get the vision of executive functioning in this relationship between mothers and daughters. Difficulty organizing. In the brain, there's a place where the mom, because she's been operating out of a place of striving, she can't organize the thoughts that require her to thrive, that would allow her to thrive. the process of thinking and thriving. And that looks like I'm not offended or triggered when my 18-year-old asserts herself immaturely or displays a harm or an injury. I'm not offended by her injury. I show up healed and whole, and I can address the injury. This organization, difficulty organization, that's how that shows up mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in the relationship between a parent and a child. The parent doesn't have the tools to organize the stimulus that's coming in, and then to regulate not being triggered, and then set yourself back into the place where you are. You're operating out of just survival mode. It worked. It was efficient, and it was important at a certain place in human existence, and it worked for you individually at a certain place of your own existence, i.e. when you were a child. But again, talking about trauma and the significance that trauma has on your growth and development, that's what trauma does. It arrests the growth and development. So there are many places in your brain that could be affected by trauma and could shut down. As it relates to executive functioning and operating out of fear and in a place where you're just trying to survive, that disorder or dysfunction is translated, transcribed, and transferred to your offspring genetically. That's a genetic issue, because at the point where it's a dysfunction in your brain is processing and synthesizing protein. There are transactions going on. Electricity does what? Travels. Reactions that are going on, if you will. So there's a place in your brain where the reaction, there's something going on with a dopamine reward center. It's very complex, and I'm not learned enough to speak efficiently, well about it. But we'll say this, what I have thus far come to understand is the play that trauma, the part that trauma plays, and we're thinking, be mindful of 400 years of trauma. Because I want us to be mindful that if we if we've not healed, then we're unhealed, and we're parenting from an unhealed place. And it's going to be very difficult to meet your child that shows up with issues in executive functioning and then help them go through it without being triggered or without being offended. That's why I'm talking. That's why I'm talking on the individual level. We want to bring this home. We're using Scripture and Ayah to bring it home, because I want us to see that Allah had this all in mind. This isn't new to psychiatry. It's new to psychiatry, but it's not human. It's not new to the human experience. And praise be to Allah that science is written in great detail in Quran. We got a caller, 417-337. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. You have a comment about what we're talking about tonight. Say your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, am I on? Yes, this is true.
Yes.
I was just calling to ask if you could please focus on Allah, because I clicked on this because it said Muslim, and then it's cracker shit. Muslims psychiatry. Muslims do not do psychiatry. They only do Allah.
Oh.
Muslims do not have trauma. They only do Allah.
Okay.
All of those words that crackers use to confuse.
Crackers. Oh.
Muslims do not use those.
Okay.
So if you could not, steal the word, a Muslim is someone completely surrendered to God. So okay. They don't do all of the questioning.
The questioning. They don't do all of the questioning. And so
no,
you
you're teaching
was,
to question. Psychiatry
question
is questioning.
So
they don't
I want to get an
God.
Understanding. When you say, okay, so we don't question God.
Are you doing this to make money? Why would you mention psychiatry, something directly against Allah, on something that has his people's name on it?
Okay. So, okay. Okay. I just want to make
it's
sure
another
that
God. Psychiatry
I
is idolatry, setting up
okay.
another God.
So your disposition is that Allah has not given us specific
I don't know what a disposition is. I do not speak cracker.
Okay.
Can
okay,
you
I'm
not
sorry,
speak
I'm
cracker
sorry.
Or you can only speak cracker? Some of
okay,
us can
I'll,
only
I'll,
speak cracker. I understand that.
I understand what you're saying, but I want to reiterate so that I understand that we're on the same page.
I don't know what iterate is.
Okay,
talk
I want
to people like they are six. That is how Muslims speak. They speak to everyone the same way, like they are a six-year-old child. Anyone that they
okay.
think is below six, you have no reason to be using your voice because
okay.
that's force.
So, okay, so I want to make sure that I understand what you're sharing.
Yes, good.
You're saying,
see, iterate sharing. Sharing is such a good word. You do not
right.
need the cracker okay. word iterate.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying. So then as
okay.
it relates to the topic of mental health maintenance, we're saying that we don't, you're sharing your thoughts that we as Muslims do not require or should not seek mental health maintenance because it's
we as Muslims do not have mental health. It is cracker talk. If you think a
okay.
male child has mental health, as you said before, you didn't know well which one should be done. He needs to get the fuck out. It's a guarantee
okay.
that the mental health will remove from him once he has to take care of himself. That's
okay.
common fucking
okay.
sense.
Okay. Okay.
Remove this cracker oh. shit from your mind. They
okay.
still have babies that are possibly 25 years on this earth. We have grown men that have only been breathing in this earth for 2 years. Yes, it's a two-year-old that's a full-grown man. So we can't use
okay.
This cracker shit with us. You can never give our men excuses. There is no mental health in us.
Okay. In us. No mental health in us. All right. Well, I'm going to take
no.
some time to go ahead and respond to some of your comments, if you will.
Okay.
If you. All right. So the sister is saying very adamantly and with a great lot of passion that as Muslims, we don't have mental health. It is against Islam, and that the words or the verbiage that we're using or I'm using is that others and that we are not supposed to use that kind of verbiage. I don't – okay, I will do Balahim and the Shaitan regime. I'm asking Allah to give me the guidance and direction so that I respond in a way that is proper as it relates to the purpose of the show. We have a platform here. And on this platform for the past 7 years, almost, I don't know, maybe 10, we've been discussing the reconstruction of parenting and leadership. And so one thing that we're focusing on in these past few months is mental health maintenance, because what's holding us back from thriving is that we are in a place where we're responding emotionally and mentally through experience, through practice, through exposure, so forth and so on, of 400 years of chattel slavery and then where we are now today. This is a perfect demonstration of what we believe about mental health and what stops us from moving forward in our growth and development. And now what I'd like to share with the sister, I would like to challenge her to find in Quran. Now, there are limitless places. Like, I can't tell you how many places where Allah speaks directly to the functioning of the human being's brain, not just his soul that you can't touch, but the brain that you can touch when you open up the skull. Allah speaks specifically to how the brain operates, and then he goes into sciences that we don't even have words to explain. We were the leaders. Muslims, Islam is the leader of psychiatry to all of mankind. If it were not sciences revealed in Quran, man wouldn't have known to think to look for his navigation through the human brain and to find those stories that talk specifically and mathematically and there's science for those who reflect. So ask Allah, make me one of those who reflect and show me the signs that you have put there for me to reflect. And what I find is Allah speaks to me on the level that I am. She's right. Speak to people on a level that they can understand you. So I stand corrected. I'll be mindful to speak to people on a level that they can understand me. I am so excited for this sister's input. I'm so excited for her, for what she shared, because I think that also, like I said, demonstrates the necessity for us to look in the place that we need to look, where Allah is telling us to look. And that's not in the physical. We're not to look in the physical. We have to look in the place when we're talking about our mental health. We have to look where Allah tells us to look. And Allah tells us. He tells us specifically. This world would not even know psychiatry like they know it if it were not for Allah's revelation in Quran. We got another caller. I don't want to go so far into that, but I do want to take the next caller because we'll only have an hour today. 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. I know who you are, but for the audience, you can state your name and where you're calling from and what's your keep it real moment. Michael Hamid. Assalamu alaikum. Did I open up the mic? Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. Yes. I appreciate your discipline, your patience with the caller, because the caller came in triggering, you know, trying to trigger your emotional language, disrespect for your platform with the vulgarity, which was not necessary, but in my opinion, it was designed to trigger you and get an emotional response or some type of response. But the caller obviously doesn't know the religion, and I noticed the language, you know, Muslims don't, and she's pronouncing the term that she later said she was claiming as Muslim, and we, you know, you said several times, you know, Muslim this, Muslim that, you know, so obviously she's an undeveloped Muslim, or maybe not even a Muslim at all, you know, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did state, you know, later on in her conversation about, you know, she kind of suggested she identified as a Muslim. But obviously she's not knowledgeable. Many years ago, back in the 80s, I took a child development class in a little small college in Alabama. And the professor was knowledgeable about Muslim psychiatric development, the use of music and water in terms of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a baseline humanity, but there are things that happen based on the science that we know now of improper nutrition and other things that cause mental and physical challenges. This is historically known. We know this. This is facts that we don't have to debate. Also, pairing a pair of of individuals coming together, or one, maybe even one individual that has some problematic genetic makeup. Okay, I'm gonna put it like that, and having the child can cause challenges. You know, because of that, that the offspring can be challenged in any number of ways. So, obviously the caller, you know, she seemed like she was kind of doing a little shock jock stuff, you know, and it doesn't help the conversation. It doesn't add anything to the conversation in terms of, you know, it seemed like she was trying to get a rise out of you, and by doing so, you may not be at your best. You know, it took you a moment to recover, to identify that Muslims are ahead of that science of psychiatry and psychology.
Well, I knew that. Praise be to Allah for her call. I am so excited that she did call, because Allah to Island. I mean, no disrespect to that sister. However, she wants to respond. So I'm going to give her an opportunity to respond, but I want to say this.
You gave her a lot of time, and I don't think she came in respectfully. That's my point. You know, she might have had something to add, but it wasn't in a respectful way. It was kind of condescending. You know, you don't know. You're using white man's language. Well, language is language, you know. You know, Allah taught languages. I don't know if she knows that or not. But language is taught by God. And certain ideas, it's necessary to have an elevated type of approach to it, because it's complex. It's not simple. So sometimes you have to add a word or two that speaks to the complexity of the issue. You know, and it's not white man. It's not white man language.
You know,
it's God. It's the language that God gave to us.
The thing that,
so
you know, this is
she has the issue. She has the issue.
Thank you so much, Brother Michael. I want to share this because I see her online, and I'm fretting on the decision to make, but I want to say this. Allah is so... Okay, I'm going to read this surah real quick. It says, this is surah 31 at 12. This is Al-Luqman. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Okay, she's there. We bestowed wisdom on Luqman. Show gratitude to Allah. And who is grateful does so to profit his own soul. But if any is ungrateful, verily Allah is free of all want and worthy of all praise. I want to read the other verses because there's a word that that I wanted to come from.
Can I make this last comment while you're looking that up?
I just want
the young lady to be respectful. Yes. She came in like she had a chip on her shoulder. And if you don't require that, you know, it diminishes the conversation the way she came in. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. So I am, hold tight. I didn't get your name, but I see you there. Hold tight. I do want to read. Oh, Lord. I'm 31, I'm having trouble finding which part of the Quran. Okay, 31 and 12. I'll do Allahi Manash Shaitan the regime. What else? Okay, so we bestowed in the past wisdom on Luqman. Show gratitude to Allah. Any who is grateful does so to profit his own soul. But if any is ungrateful, verily God is free of all wants, worthy of all praise. What I want to, I'm going to give you a few moments in just a second. On my journey of learning, because I've asked Allah to show me wisdom, and I caution anybody to ask Allah for things like that, because literally all hell in your life is going to break loose, meaning things are just going to come loose. And I mean that in the best sense of the matter. What I'm trying to get to is the process of mental health maintenance shown in this surah. And when we as Muslims, say, we become Muslim when we call Shahada, when we declare that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not calling us to be Muslim. He's calling us to be believers. We start out as Muslims, but he's directing us to be Muslim. And he is calling us, to be servants of Allah. And what I'm learning is you're not a servant of Allah without going through the process of spiritual growth and development, mental growth and development, and emotional growth and development that Allah shows you in Quran. He is guiding you. There's a path called Sirat al-Mustaqim. And what do you do on a path? You journey on a path from one place to another. So this journey that we're talking about is a demonstration of from a place where the journey of mental health maintenance. So gratitude, we're learning as Muslims on the journey of becoming servants of Allah. Because when you understand, I got a glimpse of what it is to be a servant of Allah. And I tell you, I can't call myself a servant yet. I aspire to be a servant of Allah. And I'm recognizing that that path is going to take me evolving willingly because he can't force me to evolve. But he shows me places. He shows me places and activates places in my mind if I practice these practices, if I do what Allah show you using gratitude as a tool. Now, how does gratitude help you in mental health maintenance? And why is it only good for my soul? And then I began that questioning, that dialogue, the word he has revealed because he's asked us to reflect. And reflection is questioning. I'm a scientist. I think like a scientist. There's no reflection without questioning. So Allah is inviting the mind to critically think. And critical thinking requires questions. Allah wants us to question him. He wants us to question what this means to us so that he can speak the answer to us where we are and relieve us of the burden of ignorance so that we can grow. So there is questioning. You have permission to question Allah. Allah, I don't know what that means. I asked Allah, I don't even know what the word wisdom means. And he took me to gratitude. I can't get wisdom unless I use gratitude as a tool to open the door to wisdom. At first I thought Allah bestowed wisdom on Luqman and then told him to show gratitude. No. Him demonstrating gratitude, he gained wisdom. You don't get wisdom unless you use gratitude. You'll never be able to even get your executive functions in a place where you're operating as a higher human being. Lower executive functions are indicative of the human being that is that's operating out of their emotions. And that I feel it, therefore I do it. Allah does not want us to respond like that. As Muslims, it's a religion of discipline. Disciplining the flesh so that we can experience sublime joy that only Allah can show us. It's not a word. We understand what the word joy means. We think we do. But when we get on the path of mental health maintenance, we're like, wow. Wow. I'm going to give the sister a minute to respond because she's held on. So patiently, she called back in, and I just want to, get her response to some of the things that she's heard tonight. So state your name again, sister. I'm unmuting your mic. I didn't get your name. Welcome again.
Hi. Is it my turn?
Yes. What's your name again? I didn't get it.
Oh, my name is Truth, and I'm so sorry. I wanted to call back and apologize. Because the man was right. You know what? I'm going to just go ahead and call him my daddy because that's who he is standing in as me hearing him right now. And he's right. I am not playing with y'all. I am serious. My entire life, I have had, what should I call it? Oh, y'all can probably put it. Hey, I don't care if you put it under your mental health thing, but I've had an issue, the word respect. Because I am such an extensive lover. See, respect is a, okay, well, can I use the C word?
What you mean?
I'm
what's
sorry.
That?
But respect is a cracker okay. word.
Same
respect is a cracker
girl.
Word. And it's, and I don't mean to say that because it is right. Because in the Bible, because, you know, God had to almost kill me a few times. Because he's like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, you going to go around and say you don't know what respect is? Because you fixing mm-hmm. to find out then. Or you're going to leave Earth then.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's what that
mm-hmm.
man was trying to tell me. Like, because he mm-hmm. realized she's not, this is her raw speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's love for him to have called in to say, wait a minute, you're going to have to pull in respect. Because
okay.
that's taking the conversation completely somewhere else. Because, see, I'm just a quick shooter. And, see, he may mm-hmm. have listened to you before. So when
mm-hmm.
I spoke, he knew this is triggers of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard you before in my life. I'm not going to say that I can't pick up a trigger, though. I'm not going to say that. But my thing is, he's right. He was like, oh, well, she was trying to trigger you. Technically, I am going to be honest and agree with him. I do not like for people that are saying they are my people. Let me not say my people saying you're my – I'm not making you be my people. But people who
mm-hmm.
say they are my people. We do not have triggers. We cannot. We cannot have triggers with words. Crackers must be able to freely speak any word that they choose to say. And we
okay.
have to stand unbothered. No word budges me.
Okay.
This
All
is
right.
why I
so,
use any word, but I did want to apologize with him because God did tell me this is why a woman must respect. A man never has to respect. He has to always love. But a woman must respect, oh, because a man can kill you. And that's why black women be getting killed. Because we won't pull in respect. We just full-fledged loving when, hold on, you got a top on earth. A man does not have a top on earth. So he full-fledged loving, but a woman has a top on earth. Man, a man can simply hit you, not even realizing his own strength, and it strikes the life out of you. So either way, I just wanted to apologize. And I wanted to say, ma'am, you have no idea how much that just helped me, what you just said. When you said, I don't even know what wise is, but God kept telling me, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
That is such,
then,
do you know, that is, and see, if you say, I love gratitude, but if you say thankfulness, just in case a small child is listening to us,
because mm-hmm.
gratitude is is thankfulness.
Well, no, I want to say with all due respect, I actually had to ask, what is gratitude, and I'm going to tell you why. In my scientific mind, I knew that this was something that was so important to man's soul because he says it, that it's bigger than what the definition in our dictionary could even explain. So I asked Allah to show me what why is it so powerful to my soul. And so then I got the revelation of it being a key to open up a place where a life of information that your soul will recognize once you use that key to open it. However, sister, we have some experiences that prevent us from even using the power of gratitude properly because we don't understand its power and we don't understand its significance. And really its significance is to the mental health. Allah, when he's talking to your soul, he's not talking to the brain. He's talking to the part of you that you can't touch, that is unseen. He's talking to
okay,
the
Okay, can
that
I
part.
Say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please not call it what crackers are calling it, though? Because these are things being held to use to hold us down. That's
okay.
why I don't want you to call it mental health.
These are things used to imprison us. This is what they used with Malcolm X's mother. I will never use it for anything of anyone in my family. So okay. What I use is what the prophet Muhammad, what the creator already bought from him. If I sign, I'll be like, oh, you deaf, dumb, and blind. You're being increased in your transgressions. Fuck mental health. You are being increased in your transgressions.
Right. Okay, so I will say this. That there is is the reason why I power to do what I do and I thank you for that.
Yeah, I am grateful for you, though.
I power to do what I do because it's dangerous to believe that you can get by ignoring your mental state. It's very dangerous.
But
to
ma'am,
the growth of your own
soul. Say that to a 6-year-old. Tell a 6-year-old child what a mental state is. You are choosing you over a child, just like crackers. For you to ever use the word mental, you are choosing you and what you are learned over your communication to that child.
Let me say this. You gave me a challenge. How would I demonstrate this information to a child? Well, first thing I would do is...
they don't know what mental is.
What?
When they hear mental, they only hear cracker trying to hurt me. Mine better know. If they hear it, they have plans to kill you.
Giving me a question.
Not hurt. They have plans to kill you.
For my eyes. Let me get the answer out. What I want to say to you is that as an educator, called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to educate, part of being an educator is being able to do
an
assessment.
A child don't know what an educator is. They know what a mommy and daddy
second.
Is. You saying you my mama? Fuck your educator.
I'm sorry. For the sake of time, and I wanted to get this point out, and this is how we operate on the show. The caller has something to say, and then we have a response. And I wanted to, all with all due respect, give the response so that we don't exhaust the time going back and forth. So we got the part about how do we communicate that to children. And I'm glad that she asked that because I also wanted to answer the question for you specifically, and I hope that you do come back and get more and share more with us, respectfully, that is. But the reason this platform is dedicated to the parenting, to the reconstruction of parenting and leadership. That is the reason why, so that we can meet our children as healed adults. We want to meet our children as adults who are not triggered by them being children. And so I'm going to use Quran because I think that is significant right now. We use the bestowing, first of all, the language of Quran. Allah always puts himself in head. He always I did something. But the truth is you come through something to find that something I've left for you to discover. Say that again. You come through something. You have passage through something and have found something through your passage that gave you that which I left for you to discover. So Luqman's wisdom he had received through showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah even clarifies and says, anyone who is grateful does so to profit his own soul. But if any is grateful, very Allah is free of all wants. He even has an answer for those who are in a place where they don't understand the power of gratitude. Wherever your mind is going back and forth, I don't need your gratitude. You're not grateful, and then this also answers another disorder that we're going to talk about. Another is not understanding where you are in this. This is an answer too. You don't need to be grateful to me. You don't need to be out here people pleasing. I'm not the one that needs to be pleased. None of your efforts please me. So that answers the emotional part of being a people pleaser, or your stuff being out of. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself from shows, but we're talking right now executive function. I thank that lady for. Like, again, that's just for calling in. I want to also go to the next ayat appropriate for this discussion. And behold, Luqman said to his son by way of instruction, O my son, do not join in worship with Allah, with worship of others with Allah, for false worship is indeed the highest wrongdoing. We're now in the realm of looking for mental health maintenance. So we're in the place where you would see your soul, your consciousness, or that place that's unseen, that part in your brain that operates the expression of your soul, who you are, your personality. He gave, by way of instruction to his son, do not join. It's the joining of idolatry is not worshiping a statue. Idolatry is something that goes on in your mind. It's in your mind. You're doing something in your mind where you are enjoining worship of something other than Allah. When you get to that place, there's going to be no question. Allah is calling us to a place we have to go to understand how, to understand, to receive the gift of receiving the gift of worshiping only Allah. We aren't there because we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. We're not there. We getting there is going to take mental health maintenance. That's why I say mental, I disagree adamantly with what the sister says, because it goes against what Allah is telling us in Quran. He didn't leave us naked and alone in a land of confusion in our brain. He gave us a map, and Quran is a map. He gave us a map. The thing is now recognize what you're looking at. If I gave you a map of Africa and you didn't know it was a map of Africa, it would do you no good. But now you know that there's, you can look for the map of your soul, the map of your consciousness in Quran. Perhaps you can find that vision, that visual that he's demonstrating in his word, and you can be led to finding the place where you can recognize the blessing of La ilaha illallah. That's what he's calling us to. We're not going to get there. We're not going to get there on our lower self. We're not going to get there at the day we became Muslim. La ilaha illallah. I remember I was a child. I believed that my outward piousness was what mattered. No, that matters not. And praise be to Allah that I can have that conversation and not be triggered by that sister. Because I can see, and I don't do her any good. Responding in that energy, I want us all to raise. That's the purpose of this show, is that we learn to heal, and we do have childhood trauma that we're dealing with, and we got it in our genes from 400 years of chattel slavery, and God only knows how much more before that led us into the position that we're in now. So looking at that as that human model. On the mental model, they're the same. You have to get free. You have to set yourself free. But that's not the work. The work isn't done in the place of freedom. Self-discipline now has to happen. And in self-disciplining, you can't go by self-discipline. That's in the mind. You can't buy it. You can't catch it. You can't. It's in the mind. And Allah has not forsaken us. The map of mental health maintenance is in our mind. Is in this book. He left no science out. No science. Even down, I believe, to every connection and every pathway that the human brain makes, I believe, is in this Quran. We don't have the technology to find it yet. But I bet. Okay, I won't use that language because I'm going to be mindful of triggering language. But I believe that information is in Quran. So we do want to pay attention to mental health maintenance. We do want to destigmatize the word. Maybe we can find, but how do I speak to everyone if I just said soul maintenance or consciousness maintenance? I mean the mind, and Allah didn't leave that out. He put it in specifically. It's there down to the science. Down to the hormones and down to what ion opens this chamber that lets this electrical impulse go through, to what needs to sit here to activate this, and this. It's in the Quran in detail. I don't know if we have another. Let me see if we have another prompt. Is this Michael Amin? Did you have something else that you wanted to add? You're still on mute if you wanted to ask something. We have 5 minutes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I want to be as succinct as I can.
Okay.
And I appreciate the respect of what I shared with sister. But Quran is identified as a healing. And if we're really open to healing, the narratives, the question that God asks in the book, the stories that or narratives that he shows us as examples for us to probe into, to dig into, to see ourselves. And if we're not going into the book to see ourselves, then we're missing it. But one thing that God tells us in is that if you're overcome, if you don't have this executive control that you're speaking of, self-discipline, which enables us to learn and to grow, if you don't have that, if you are led by your emotions and your urges and your passion, you know, and not being able to control yourself, then God says there's no help for you. Nothing can help you if you're not in a position where you're controlling yourself, your passions and your urges. You're just going on your own thinking. And God says you can do that. That's a choice that you have. You can listen to God's words. You can listen to what nature says that God created and see the principles and the logic in it, or you can just go on your own and see how that works for you. And I'll stop there.
So hungry now. I want to give 60 seconds to the sister, but you said something I'm going to go ahead and respond to. Use the word probe. That's also another scientific term that goes to let me see something. That's also connected to I'm questioning. I want to know what this means. We are invited to reflect. Allah invites us to reflect. In fact, we have to reflect in order to take the steps along the path. You're not going to get it. You want to see yourself. You have to see yourself as Luqman, as Ibrahim, as you have to see the you and the Musa, Noah. You have to see yourself. You have to see yourself. And then even more, then when you see yourself, you see parts of yourself. You see the parts of the makeup of your brain and how they fit together. And it becomes easier. Dean Burton, I got one more minute. I'm going to give this last minute to the sister. This is her first time showing in. With all due respect, we welcome you. We want you to come back and share more of what you have to say. So for the last minute, we're going to give to you, Sister Hood. Any last thoughts of what you've heard today? Did anything change your mind, or you still? What say you?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm a sorry person.
Mm-mm.
And you know, a man dear to me one day, he said, "I don't like to be sorry." And I understand that. As a man, I can see how a man be like, nah. Because that's kind of saying, like, you know, I don't want what happened to happen when you do. That's saying, you know. But either way, hun, I didn't realize, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm slow on the pickup a lot of times, like I said, because I be too quick and not considering other people. But I just wanted to be clear to you. If someone is telling you that something is wrong with your thinking, that you are mental, that's saying that they don't respect your thoughts. Theirs is over yours. That is just, you know, God saying, you know, I don't know, maybe you and them need to part. You don't need to adapt mental health to force something.
All right.
You don't
disagree
with them, except which words they want to use. If they're telling you that you're mental, say, okay, you know, okay.
All right. I'm
just
have
say
to
okay
you off
to them.
I got to get out of my seat so the next host can get in, and I do appreciate
okay, okay.
you do call
But I enjoyed it. So you're on at this time.
So okay. I'll know for time okay. to come back
yeah,
on.
Yeah, just fine. I'm fine.
I meant to come back and listen.
Next week and
no, I don't normally.
I apologize to the host of the next show. I just want to transition out properly. I thank the sisters for calling in and sharing what she said very passionately. I do want to have – we'll have some responses about that on our next show. Perhaps I give her a call and we'll, you know, share some things and see what we can do about it. But then again, I mean, but yet and still, I want us to come away with this is this demonstration of the significance of mindfulness, growth, evolution, mental health maintenance. We'll figure out how we need to look at it so we can do what we need to do to get on to the next level and understand how to yield the power of gratitude to open up this wisdom in our mind for us that Allah has laid up for us when we use the tools that He wants us to use. And so with that being said, thank you, Agal, again for showing up. Do come back again next week. Inshallah, we'll be continuing our discussion, and we're all healing. Being better people that we can be. So we've been inspired to be a servants of Allah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you again, and have a great week.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad, waiting for Imam Kareem to get into the host seat. But I'm your co-host, Michael Hameen. And we have been reading on a regular basis volume one of the Ramadan sessions, very insightful information that has been published from personal talks of Imam Wahdi Muhammad. And so we have Imam
Alhamdulillah. Yes, praise be to Almighty God. I'm once again grateful to join you, Michael Hameen, and Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam, broadcasting the show, the contemplation of Imam Wahdiuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. Let us begin with Allah's name. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful, benefactor, most merciful, redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Assalamu alaikum to the listening audience. That is, may the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you and myself also. Praise be to Allah. We welcome you to the Airways of America Muslim 360 for the contemplation of Imam Wahdiuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. Let me kind of set the aim of what we're aiming at. Imam Wahdiuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi, he met with three close confidants of his. Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Ronald B. Shaheed. He met privately with them at his home and shared with them many insights, many words of wisdom on a myriad of subject matter. He met with them privately in his home, and these private sessions, they were tape recorded. So the imam asked them, the three of them, if they would they transpose the recording to writing and then publish books on the subject matters that were discussed, and that they would have the full rights to be a publishing of what he had shared
Covetous means to make known, to make known. And so one of the reasons for this, Imam Muhammad said, if you want your knowledge to live, you have to put it in books, write it down, distribute it. That way people are aware of your original thinking and others cannot come behind you and discount what was said or take value away from what was given. So, Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, may Allah forgive them their sins and grant them the home in the paradise. They were distributing and publishing these myriad of books on the thinking and the logic of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. And Brother Ronald B. Shaheed has carried that effort farther. It is still moving forward. So we at America Muslim 360, we have a broad reach with this radio station. So we are sharing the content of those published books of knowledge and wisdom. And we have with us now a two-set volume of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. And they are edited by Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. Imam Muhammad asked him if he would transpose his Ramadan sessions into book form and publish them. So praise be to Allah. Ronald B. Shaheed took that daunting challenge on, and so far he has produced a two-volume set of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, and we are sharing the content of those Ramadan sessions every Sunday evening here on American Muslim 360 in hopes that these words of wisdom are spread far and wide. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So, with that said, I want to share with you where we left off last Sunday from out of the Ramadan session, volume 1, 1983, 1992, 1993, 1995, 1999. Praise be to Almighty God. So we are starting on page 68. And we are sharing from the Ramadan session of 1993, March 11th, 1993, the venue was Little Rock, Arkansas. So let me begin sharing with you from out of volume 1, the Ramadan session of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Let me share with you also the content of this Ramadan session. Number one, the most serious threat to Muslims. Number two, Satan comes from left, right, front, and back. Number three, Iblis, Satan, and Takhut. Fourth topic, the obligation to correct each other. Topic five, Taraweeh and Witr prayer. Number six, dreams as revelation. Number seven, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the liberator and final progression. Topic eight, wisdom looks to the future. Number nine, the bond of Iman, the bond of faith. So we shall begin on the concept of prophet, the Imam's words on the concept of prophet. And it begins. So we were talking about the concept of the prophet. Isn't this something that we should take a note of for the fact that the prophet is never called the Khalifa directly and among his many names that are in the Quran, Khalifa is not among them. And Khalif, in the plan for man on earth, Khalifa, that's the concept, the grand concept for man. And when the prophet came as a prophet, he began to build democratic society. For what? For want of a better term, a society that respected the opinions of the informed people in that society, of the learned, informed people in that society. He's the prophet of God. God gave him his communication. Directly from God, he gets his. But even as a prophet of God, the last prophet, he invited the opinions of the learned or informed people around him, independent intelligence. And the Khalifa, the concept of Khalifa, is the one who realizes his life that's planned by God for him. He is being given life by being put on earth in natural situations and circumstances on earth. That's how he realizes his life, an education, a message that's being conveyed that he is to be put on earth in just the ordinary situation, a natural situation, is what is said in the words, get down from here altogether. Altogether includes who? It includes Iblis, the man and the woman. Iblis, the man and the woman, get down from here altogether. Understand that Iblis is a creature that has as his greatest tool his rational ability, too. His rational ability. He's a rational creature. So here it is saying, get down from here, independent intelligence. Why should God make the independent intelligence if it's going to be a devil? No, there's just one of the possibilities for independent intelligence, being independent or independent. We know within the certain qualifications, a certain definitions for that independence. God is all-powerful over all things, but God gives us independence, human independence, and Iblis was given intellectual or rational independence. The intellect was never to be realized in the jinn man. Man is really the purpose for God creating the free intellect. And man was really the purpose for God creating the free intellect. Man was the purpose. The intellect was never to be realized in jinn. The destiny for the intellect was never to be realized in the jinn. And the jinn had really put his intellect in a situation or community of angels, right? He had put his intellect, established his intellect in the community of angels. And the intellect was not to have its future, neither among angels or among jinn, but in man. So he said, get down from here altogether, meaning this, that the jinn dimension in the intellect, the jinn creature in the field of the intellect, with the power of intellect in the field of intellect, cannot serve God's purpose in situation divorced from the purpose given to man on earth. Man has a purpose on earth. So the only way the jinn can realize the purpose for his intellect. Now, you weren't supposed to be an intellect if you going to stay a jinn. You you are supposed to be an angel. You serving angels. You with angels. Now, as long as you are going to be an angel, you will be okay here. But now you're meeting difficulty, having difficulty, understanding what I'm planning for the earth, for man. Now you don't want to be an angel. You want to be a jinn. But you had placed yourself among the angels. You had become an angel, the leader of the angels. Now, if you want to live to see your destiny for your intellect, jinn, then it will never come to you as a jinn. It will never come to you in a society of angels. You have to be on earth in a society of man. You, jinn, what you want, you're going to get it through this man that you hate, this man that you reject, that you're out to defeat. The only way you're going to get the fulfillment for your intellect is that you get down in the earth, in the circumstances created for this man and with the woman, because he needs her for his mate to regenerate himself. Prophet Muhammad's jinn became a Muslim. The prophet has to be what is promised to the people. The prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, do you have a jinn? He said, yes, I had one, but he became Muslim. So that tells us the jinn can be transformed into a Muslim and become an agent in the constitution of man, serving man, and he's no more a jinn. So the prophet, he's given a specific role, the completion of prophethood, the seal of the prophet. And as the seal of the prophets, he has to be what is promised to the people that hadn't been put there. That's what it means in the house. One block missing. Let me say this, that one block that was missing was our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Okay. The block that is missing is the universal and democratic leader. Prophet Muhammad is a model of our role in democratic society. That block that is missing is the universal and democratic leader. The democratic leader puts responsibility on individuals, not just on governments. Therefore, he is a model to us of our individual role in the democratic society. That's what he is. The prophet is a model to us on the individual role that God wants man to have in a governmental order. The individual is to have a role in the governmental order. What is this order? Obey God, number one. Try to know God's direction for you, God's plan for your life. Accept the religion as he reveals it. Live that religion. Fulfill your life. Seek your destiny in that light. Be responsible and not a dictator. No matter how high you rise in the society, never become a dictator. Respect the opinion, judgment, intelligence of other members of your society. Include them in your decisions, no matter how high those decisions may be. No matter how important those decisions are, no matter how great the consequences of those decisions may be, include others in them. Don't make decisions arbitrarily. Don't become a dictator. That's the society God wants for man. I want to pause now for a public service announcement. And if there are any of you that would like to make commentary on what we've shared thus far, I ask you to press 1 on your phone. I will open up your mic after these important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God rest.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. This is the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi, and we are sharing excerpts from out of the Ramadan session that was held in Little Rock, Arkansas. Praise be to Almighty God. I think the year was 1996. Let me refer to my notes. Yeah. Well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going too far. Hold on, please. I should have it. I guess it is. So anyway, the venue.
March 11th. 1993, man.
Okay, thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah. 1993. Praise be to Allah. Okay,
Imam,
thank you, Michael. Yes, sir.
I wanted to thank our audience, the callers. We had some bad connections last Sunday, but you're coming through 5x5 strong, and I thank Allah for that, and thank Allah for the audience. I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael, for letting me know that I'm clear, you know. A clear reception and a clear broadcast. Thank you, my brother. Okay. Yes. We stopped at, the intellect was never realized. No, excuse me. The Prophet Muhammad's jinn became a Muslim. The Prophet had to be what is promised to the people. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, "Do you have a jinn?" He said, "Yes, I had one," but he became a Muslim. So that tells us the jinn can be transformed into a Muslim and become an agent in the constitution of man, serving man, and he's no more a jinn. So the Prophet, he's given a specific role, the completion of prophethood, the seal of the prophet. And as the seal of the prophet, he has to be what is promised to the people that hadn't been put there. That's what it means, in the house, one block missing. Praise be to Allah. Okay, the block that is missing is the universal and democratic leader. Prophet Muhammad is a model for our role in democratic society. Let me say this here. I'm resharing this portion of the significance of what is being said here, that we truly ingest and our soul and our hearts become agreeable with what shall be said in this paragraph here. Very important. The block that is missing is the universal and democratic leader. Prophet Muhammad is a model for our role in democratic society. That block that is missing is the universal and democratic leader. The democratic leader puts responsibility on individuals, not just on governments. Therefore, he is a model to us of our individual role in a democratic society. That's what he is. The prophet is a model to us on the individual role that God wants man to have in a governmental order. The individual is to have a role in the governmental order. What is this order? Obey Allah, number one. Try to know God's direction for you, God's plan for your life. Accept the religion as he reveals it. Live that religion. Fulfill your life. Seek your destiny in that light. Be responsible and not a dictator. No matter how high you rise in society, never become a dictator. Respect the opinion, judgment, intelligence of other members in your society. Include them in your decisions, no matter how high those decisions may be, no matter how important those decisions are, no matter how great the consequences of those decisions may be. Include others in them. Don't make decisions arbitrarily. Don't become a dictator. That's the society God wants for us. I pause right here to see if there is anyone that would have any statement or anything that they would like to share at this time. Press one on your phone. I will open up your mic. We sincerely ask for your reflections on what we are sharing here on the contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Okay.
This is very important because oftentimes everyday man and woman want a scapegoat and not accept responsibility. You know, there are sayings from the past that people get the leadership that they deserve because there's a responsibility. There's not only responsibility on the leader, there's responsibility on the followers. And this is made very clear in Al-Islam, in the Quran, in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him. And Imam was aware of it, you know, and this is the kind of fresh eyes or fresh perception that the world needs, not just us as his associates, but the world needs this kind of understanding, and it's right in line with how America, the United States of America, is developed. Thomas Jefferson talked about the importance of the public understanding their responsibility in a democratic society, because if you don't understand that and exercise it, you're going to lose it. You're not going to have a democratic society. Because there are forces out there, and these men were speaking from the soul and from what they had learned, Thomas Jefferson and others, from the Quran and the history of Prophet Muhammad. I mean, it's obvious, you know, when you look at the kind of language that is instituted in terms of the foundation of the country, and you look at the ones who are doing this are slaveholders. And our brother and giant in history, Benjamin Banneker, he wrote correspondence. He wrote letters to Thomas Jefferson, and in a very dignified way told Thomas Jefferson, you're being hypocritical. You desired this freedom from oppression for yourself, but yet you want to enslave and oppress my people. And so, you know, this stands out, the challenge to the human soul that Imam is talking about being a dictator, and the kind of environment, social environment, we have to establish with Shura Vainahoon. And I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. Also, it is important that we as individuals understand that when we are invited to mutual consultation or a planning committee, and we attend out of the interest of reaching that a goal that we're aiming at. When you're asked your opinion, it is un-Islamic to say, I have nothing to say. You just broke the guidelines for mutual consultation. You can't sit there and somebody asks you a question and you look over at your friend first to see what their position is. And then you parrot that. No, this is free, conscious expression. Your true opinion is very valuable. And we utilize mutual consultation so we can pick each other's brain. You know what I mean? No one of us know it all. So
yes.
If we are in mutual consultation, I ask you, please give your honest opinion and don't fear the criticism of criticizers. Okay.
Yes. One more thing, Imam, about Shura Vainahoon. You know, Imam talked a little earlier about informed opinion. We don't, in Shura, we don't want to involve in our feelings and emotions. We want informed opinions on whatever the matter is. But we also recognize, and this is something that I think speaks to this kind of a democratic process or approach. We also are aware that in such a disciplined environment of consultation, those who may not have specific education on the subject, there may be the element of inspiration, the wahi of Almighty God being offered because of the dynamics of and discipline of Shura Vainahoon. You know, a person may be inspired to say, in terms of how the conversation is going, what about this? You know,
well,
okay,
and that may be the answer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that may be. Well, alhamdulillah, this is a jewel, praise be to Allah, that has been very important that we utilize the position that our Prophet Muhammad established on the earth. Praise be to a democratic society. Praise be to Allah. The next subject matter, Prophet Muhammad, the liberator to take the yokes off. Prophet Muhammad, he is answering something that was expected. So he isn't answering something that we can't find in previous scriptures. It may not be clear, but it's there. And every tub shall sit on its bottom, quote, Bible. They have to stand on their own, and it means that the individual will, one day, have to be entrusted with authority and be allowed to have a voice and participate in the decision-making for the government of the whole society. That's a democratic order. Now, if we would really get out there and preach that Prophet Muhammad is the prophet that heralded in the real idea of the democracy, these Muslims will start making a whole lot of complaints. But that's exactly what he is. He is the prophet to bring in the day of true democracy. That's why he says he's the liberator and taking the yoke off of you. What is the yoke? The yokes that deprive the man of having freedom to participate with dignity in the run of his society. If he can qualify, he's supposed to be able to qualify to rise to the top. If he can't qualify, that's a true democracy. When the prophet was given victory in Mecca, he and his followers, on the day of victory, you know, right away, he got busy to prepare to go to Medina. He didn't plan to stay there. As soon as he got things in order, he left. He went back to his new home, where he had built up the governmental order of the Ummah, and he left a youth there over the Meccans. Next subject matter, wisdom looks to the future. Someone is asking a question of Imam Muhammad. The question is, my question is, what do you think justified or moved the prophet to pick such a young man and put him in that position to give advice and direction to the Meccans on Islam or on the Ummah? This answer is very important. There will be commentary behind us, I'm quite sure. The answer is this, Imam Muhammad. What Imam Dawood Ali said, he said he thinks it is because he be the least likely to be affected and because his growth was natural. I think you may have answered the whole question. Here are Meccans, old chiefs, and everybody there, and he's leading a young man. Remember that the prophet, to understand that the prophet was a wise man, and wisdom looks to the future, as well as around, circumspect, behind, all around. And then wisdom says, what will happen tomorrow and the next day and down the road? So it is first circumspect and look all around, because this is a living thing. It's got to go forward. How is this going to fare down the line? On the one side, if he had picked the older person, most likely that person would have been somebody who had killed some of them or that they hate, because there were family members and he deserted the family. And he's on Prophet Muhammad's side or on their side. But here is a youth, a young man. He's too young to really be in the clash. So the prophet picked somebody they wouldn't hate or resent that, or resent that he's there, because he was not the person in this tribe or anything. And then he fought against us. So he picked someone that wouldn't affect them in a negative way. It wouldn't be affected by them, because he's not in their time, not in their age, their generation. So he's not affected by all their problems, quarrels that they had. And they're not looking at him and feeling discomfort, because he's not in their age group either. And in the prophet's life, the time was so quick until all the older people were still there except those that were killed. And the younger ones, he was a baby to them. I guess they said, oh, he's a boy. They didn't even regard the boy. And plus, the society back then, they didn't regard children, youth, to be in any situation like that. So he wouldn't have had an opportunity before to even be involved. So he picked a person that wasn't involved, couldn't be identified as the enemy of theirs, a young man. That's on the one side. On the other side is this. He picked a person that they were still superior to because of their age. The Meccans were proud people, and though they accepted advice from him, the young man spoke pretty well there. I think we ought to go along with that. The boy is okay. Leave the boy alone. Okay, but I'm stopping now to elicit commentary from the listening audience. We are grateful.
This is so rich.
Yes, sir. We are so grateful to see numbers of our youth stepping forward, picking up the mantle, keeping the movement moving forward. They are becoming very learned in Islamic science, in the Arabi of Fusha, in the Sirah of the Prophet, fiqh, you name it. And these are our youth. And we're so grateful that Allah is making their presence known to us. It's a relief on our hearts and our souls. And we're human. We are human beings. And we have conditions and circumstances and situations and habits. We are creatures of habit. Some of us, even now, not all of us, but some of us even now are carrying a bitter pill for something that happened back in 1965 or 1975 in the Nation of Islam. Yeah, that brother, that brother, yeah, that. And some of us are still carrying the residue of the past that may affect our decision-making and our judgment. It may cloud our vision and our thinking. These young people were not, they didn't come from out of that era. And we know from out of our era came great success. Wonderful, wonderful things came from out of our era, baby boomers. But also, there were some missteps that we all recognize. We just talk about them. And that residue can negatively affect our decision-making, just getting caught up in personality, getting caught up in person, or my friend, or whatever. But here's one that was born before that, and he's in the movement and more educated than those that went through the first and the second experience. So he's kind of like a fresh set of eyes, a fresh newborn babe, you know, and being educated in the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad and human history and our history in this country coming from a unique situation called chattel slavery. So here's a new, fresh set of eyes that have not left the path. Matter of fact, they are committed to the path. The path is what we just described, true democracy, true individual responsibility, that we be responsible for ourselves and not beholding to another people to take care of us is the major thrust. And that is what Al-Islam leads to. So the Imam's tafsir on that, for me, it's so clear. Praise be to Almighty God. And yes. May we utilize that vision in connection with our journey forward. You know, there's a young man that's from St. Louis, and he studied under Emil Rahman in Atlanta. And Emil Rahman was one of Imam Muhammad's foremost students, among others. This young brother studied under him. He came to visit here at home. And he was asked if he would perform the Juma, and he agreed. My brother was there. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there. My brother said, man, Zayd's Arabic, his Fusha was so on point. He said, I had to look over at him, you know, to see this. His tatweed is so exact and precise. And someone said, one of the gray beards, oh, he's just showing off. But that didn't deter our brother Zay, nor those of us here in the St. Louis community. So I use that as an example of what can happen. Michael, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to share the wisdom of the leadership in Atlanta among our age group in seeing the need to remove barriers towards moving into the future in a healthy way by removing themselves, not trying to be imam for life at a particular resident imam for life, but willing to step down and to invite the community to bring in youthful leadership, a young adult leadership that had the skills. But I'd like to also speak to a situation in terms of temperament. Most of the time, young people don't have this urge to dictate. You know, they understand if they're healthy, they understand there's a lot that they don't know and a lot that they can learn. So the governing principle is I'm going to utilize what Allah has blessed me with, but I'm not afraid to take counsel. I'm not afraid to listen to those that have been around longer than me. And this is very important, you know, for our future. And understanding, you know, as the sheikhs over in Saudi Arabia, one of the great sheikhs or grand imams recognized that a Muslim growing in America, the land of plenty, technology and productivity, there's a special development in that soul. And so they recognized, they saw it in Imam Muhammad. He wasn't just talking about, you know, the Quran and Prophet Muhammad in a vacuum. He was identifying how to live the life and advance the life based on the Quran and the example of Prophet Muhammad, and with a respect for the intellectual environment of America. You know, a lot of us don't recognize how special the American environment is. We have folks with an interest for data, for surveys, for understanding knowledge of the past and how it compares, making comparisons with what's going on today. This is the environment of America. And I'm convinced that a number of our young people have that spirit in them if we'll just support them. And lastly, the imam, when he came into office originally, told us that we needed to protect our young children, you know, protect their innocence, to provide a secure environment for them to grow and to do like other peoples, like the Jews and others, looking for the kind of leadership for the future, observing our young children to see who has the seriousness, who has the intellectual capacity, you know, good memory and the like, you know, a thirst, a curiosity for knowledge. We need that going into the future. And so I'll stop there. But this is such a rich intellectual environment that Imam Muhammad has created for us. Thank you.
Imam Muhammad left instructions with us concerning our youth. The Imam has said, don't you try to lead them. Let their leadership grow naturally. A natural growth. Don't you get in, you know, I know us, we love to teach, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the Imam recognized that if we're going to have new vision, let it grow naturally, a natural growth. Praise be to Allah. So I'll stop right there. We have some callers on the line. Thank you, Michael, for your contribution. Praise be to Allah. Okay, error code 727408.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I feel so good just listening. I just got on listening to Michael, what he says and what you say. So praise be to Allah. I'm talking in another different kind of way, but praise be to Allah. Let me just go on and say it. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To Allah, you are accountable. This is not Mission Impossible. You are a new social group. There's so much pain we have been working through. Pre-thinkers in a hostile environment. The school of thought, we need to establish peace in a crazy and mad environment of corruption and sin. Have in mind need for the soul to be free. Can we forgive our enemy? Can we be a mercy to humanity? Think about it. How can we benefit? Follow our leader's vision. There's protection in our association. Trust those who are serious about our mission. We are feeling the pains of others. Keep up prayer. Do your share. Allah is guiding and protecting us. Congregational prayer, mutual consultation, and fasting will make us tough. We don't believe in luck. Sincerity leads to prosperity. Tell and show others the value of being scholarly. Never stop seeking. Allah will improve the way we are living. This is a big job. We can't stop. Pick up the pace. This work will increase our faith. False worship, alcohol and dope is most of the people hold. Rent don't get paid. Old crackhead, the walking dead. Prostitution is not the logical conclusion. Our Imam showed us how to make in the land of plenty. Remember, it won't be minted. Al-Islam is organic and natural, so let's be more practical. Assalamu alaikum. And also, I'd like to say something reference to
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my brother.
There's something that Michael was talking to about this environment. I want to say something. I look in a journal, and it's always come to my mind about Muslim believers in being responsible for each other. And how can one person see a community suffering, a Muslim suffering somewhere? They have the wealth. They have that responsibility. They don't take it. So praise be to Allah. I think it was the June issue of a Muslim journal. And it's being dealt with on the economic letter. And they over there with Brother Sean Sandini and other people. And, you know, so praise be to Allah for that, you know. So we're grateful to Allah to be a part of this community, this ummah, and what Allah has given us to work with. And I'm thankful to Allah forever doing this. Well, praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm moving to the next caller. Error code 972467. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ishmael Family from Dallas, Texas.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ishmael.
I've been listening to the program since it started, and I've always had this question about the future leadership, and I just wanted y'all's opinions on it as far as, to my knowledge, and I would love to know if there are any more. To my knowledge, Imam Qasim Ahmed, Rahimullah Alayhi, he helped develop Imam Wazir Ali.
Yes, sir, another star.
Yes, and to my knowledge, I want to know if what the difficulty is, because to me, he's the only one I've actually publicly seen that has been produced, you know, in the public scene. And I just want to know your thoughts on that, and if there are others, I would like to know those also. Thank you.
What, no, you're saying only Imam Wazir?
No, I'm saying Imam Qasim.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. I'm saying a direct, like, developed a someone next in line that I've seen.
Oh.
And I would like to know some other duos that may have been, you know, developed. That's just been a question I've always had, and I didn't know the answer to it.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Prior to Imam Qasim health, Imam Qasim was on a national tour. And the theme of that tour was to encourage the association to make a full court press to learn the Quran in its original language. The brother you met, Imam Yahya Abdullah, another very learned brother, scholarly, he references Imam Qasim Ahmed as one of his mentors. Imam Wazir Ali references Imam Qasim Ahmed. Now, Imam Wazir Ali, there are young imams that are heading their own Islamic centers and masjids in the same city that he is. I don't have their names, but I know one of them is Imam Tariq. I can't remember his last name. But so this has been developing over a number of years. There will not be one leader. Let me say that again. There will not be one. The leadership, praise be to Allah, is grown naturally. It's kind of an organic, natural growth. When we keep the focus on where it needs to be placed, the leadership grow, it moves in the right direction. I suggest to us graybeards, that if we want to help, share with our youth the history of how this all began. They need to know that. They need to know that. That history, pardon me, has a focal point that it is aiming at. Our evolving has a destiny, praise be to Allah. Share with them our history from Farad Muhammad, may Allah forgive him his sin and grant him the home and the paradise. Sister Clara, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ephraim Baha, Donnell Kareem, Sister Vanada in Detroit. Share with them that history. Because if you don't know where you come from, then you may not know where you should be going. And you may not know where you're at, how much progress you've made. So that's all I'm saying, that it will grow just naturally. If we share our history, don't try to run them. but just inform them of our history. The history has a direction, a destiny for this association. That's my offering.
Thank you.
As far as leadership. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? Oh, yes, yes. I walked away from the studio. Boy, let me open up this mic. Air code 470-377. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Air code.
Oh, okay. I can't tell if I'm on.
Yeah, you're on.
Hello, can you? Oh, okay. Okay, I just wanted to say, hold on. I was trying to cook me cookies then. Listen, I got really excited when
please,
I heard y'all
name,
on
please.
Here.
State your name.
Oh,
and where
my name is
from.
Truth. My name is Truth, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Okay.
Truth, T-R-U-T-H.
Yes,
from
go
Atlanta.
Ahead.
Look, and I'm so excited because I was trying to tell everybody that the freaking Muslims was in control of everything, and y'all just said that.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold on. Let me finish, and then.
No. No, it doesn't work like that.
That's it. It doesn't work like that. She can call in when she correct her language.
Yeah.
Okay. We move forward.
I wanted to share, ma'am, that Anissa Dawan, as an instructress, knowing the Quran and the example of Prophet Muhammad and having that fresh vision in terms of how to utilize those two mercies. In Atlanta, you've got Imam Suleiman, young adult, Imam Rashad, Brother Ishmael and I, we're in one of the same classes that Imam Rashad Abdulrahman is teaching. And he set up a structure for educating Muslims to share what we've been blessed with and to qualify ourselves to establish it in America and throughout the world. In Charlotte, North Carolina, there are young imams under Imam Akbar. That's just those that we can see. If you can imagine the impact of these shorts and these YouTube presentations of Imam Warathi Muhammad, there were many more, but there's still some that are available. That process that's going on in relationship with people coming in contact, some of them American, some of them, Imam Rashad said he has a student that is of African heritage, but he came up in the Afro-American community environment, and he loves Imam Warathi Muhammad and the way that he teaches al-Islam. So the future looks bright, you know, as that song says, so bright we need sunglasses. It's so bright.
That's right.
And I'll stop.
Okay, thank you. I want to return back to sharing the insights of Imam Warathi Muhammad from out of this Volume 1 Ramadan session. Let me begin, inshallah, where we left off. But that last paragraph that we shared, that is, for real, Michael, we could develop a whole month-long broadcast on just that one paragraph. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The best description of this life in religion is travelers. Let me state that again. The best description of this life in religion is travelers. Imam Muhammad says, wisdom. He was a strategist, a wise strategist, and that's the way we have to be. Don't look at just now. Look at circumstances for participating now and then how it's going to fare down the road. I think the best description of this life in religion is travelers, right? And the prophet, he didn't change that from religion. He said, I'm a traveler that stops under the shade tree, but he's looking to his destiny. So we've got vehicles now. When you get in the vehicle, start that motor, it's in neutral. If you haven't put it in gear, you're all right. If you can just keep your mind where you are, but once you start that car up and put it in gear, you got to look ahead of that car. Your vision always has to be ahead of that car. Even if you're riding on a turtle, you got to look a little ahead of that turtle. Allah shows in Muhammad what human beings was made for. The next subject matter. Allah shows in Muhammad what human beings was made for. So we have to plan our operations just like you drive. You have got to see where it's going to go. Everything in the life of man is organic. It's growing. There is no way you can be involved with anything that's not growing. What I mean is it isn't staying where it is. Undergrowing changes, going somewhere, either to its death or to its life. So no matter what we've got to plan a future for it, and that's the spirit for the future. Steer it now for the best future. Plan it now for the best future. That's wisdom. We know Allah revealed to him and guided him, but Allah was showing us just what the human being was made for. That's what he is showing us in Muhammad, what he made the human being for. Here is a human being, not educated formally. So you can't give the credit to a tradition or a history of a legacy of wisdom, knowledge, science, and experience. I picked this man up empty. Now, this is the Imam paraphrasing for Allah, I'm just saying. Because when he said I, he don't mean himself. He is referring to the Creator. I picked this man up empty. He was an empty vessel, and I had to make the light dawn in his head and look at how he succeeds. Look at how successful he is. Look at how he manages these great tasks that you train generations for. So that's saying, in the ordinary human vessel is this great, grand possibility for man. That's what it is saying. When he dealt with slavery, he didn't deal with it the way we deal with it, the way the ordinary person would deal with it. The ordinary person would deal with it like Abraham Lincoln dealt with it. He, Prophet Muhammad, got to get rid of it. But he created conditions to get rid of it. That's great wisdom, a great strategy. I want to lend some commentary here that the requirements for owning a slave, you know, someone that you may call a slave, you may as well give him his freedom, because the Islamic law connected to slavery that a slave must wear the same grade of clothing that you wear. The slave must eat the same food that you eat. He should have similar accommodations. So with that said, anybody with some sense would say, well, he's no longer my slave.
and Buddy Ma'am, He also had to help the slave if the work was too
hard.
Yeah.
So that is how our beloved Prophet Muhammad dealt with the ending of slavery. We have to follow the uswa, the character of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. if we are to ever end slavery on this earth. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Oh, yeah. The next, the bond of Iman. Iman translated faith. The bond of Iman, faith, trust, and our prophet as the El Amin. What is the role of faith and how important is the role of faith in the Muslim society? And the last one I have here, before we have Shura, is understanding what is the significance of this statement of the prophet requiring Muslims to learn and teach the Quran. What should he be doing to advance leadership until we advance? I'm talking about that model we need, that model for the society at large. We need that model. So what do we have planned? We have to work on them fast. I am not dying, but I'm sure not getting younger. We're at the point now where we have to work harder for results, and there isn't much we can expect from the people. We have to obligate ourselves to produce results. I will say this before concluding this discussion on Quran or scripture and Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. Although the Quran does not connect the prophet's trustworthiness, loyalty with the Torah and gospel, Torah and Injil, I'm sure that he had said enough to direct us to the Torah and Injil to see him in his important qualities or important aspects of the prophet. In the Bible, there are chapters in the Bible that justify the New Testament, that serves as justification or basis for the New Testament. The New Testament gets its support from the Old Testament. The book of Jeremiah talks about the New Testament. It's actually like an introduction to the New Testament. Parts of Jeremiah are about the woman that would give birth. So in the Bible, a description is given of a man, and you know these figures are like messianic figures promising a Messiah, a liberator. They are always kind of shrouded, not real clear in the Old Testament. Not real clear. In the Old Testament, they get a little clear, but not very clear. And I think the religious people were really protecting themselves because the scripture, the Bible, was subject to man's hand. There's something I want to say. Yes, yes. You know, the previous scripture speaks of an innocent lamb. An innocent lamb. Especially the Christian scriptures. It speaks of an innocent lamb, and that a lamb would have the keys around the lamb's neck to unlock scripture, unlock an innocent, clean, pure circumstance of either person, the prophet Muhammad. He was known as El Amin. No one had, he was faithful. He was as-Siddiq, truthful, without spot, without blemish. And also, in the scripture, I'm not too up on chapter and verse of Bible, but it mentions one coming named Ahmed. Ahmed. And Ahmed is a derivative of the word Muhammad. Muhammad comes. So there are references in previous scriptures to the coming of our prophet Muhammad. And I'm saying, I thank God I'm a free thinker. I have the liberty to think along those lines, and I find it just makes sense. It is a logical conclusion. I have derived that. Okay. Okay, let me see. I see Brother Bilal has raised his hand. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. You know, the languages in this environment, we really have to take notice of it. Because the fact that, you know, you don't want to be addressing truth in such a way that you're being hip. Because hip in this environment don't really be getting it. So we praise be to Allah that Sister Chu would call back up and we can get that taken care of. We love her, and we know she need what we got, and we need her. So praise be to Allah. Let me just give a little clarity concerning something. Inshallah.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
We have policies for American Muslim 360.
I know it.
And calling a people offensive nicknames
is not prohibited
on American Muslim 360.
Right.
Using
right.
profane language,
That's
we
right.
will not tolerate that. We shall uphold our Islamic standards. Yes, sir. Go ahead, my brother.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. Here we go. Bismillah. It wasn't easy. It isn't easy for this country to relieve itself of the institution of slavery. Banning literature of what happened could never make it a mystery. Most of our people and others are living a life of misery. For us, the Temple of Islam came as a plan to prove that though we have been lost from self, one day we will be talking about financial literacy and generational wealth. Professor Farad believed all his heart and being that we will rise in a world, an illusion of lies and deception. God playing the jest and post situations sometimes produce the best human being. The social reformer's son, Imam W.P. Muhammad Wisdom, is on the scene. A lot of hurt is intended to wake up our conscience. Common sense has become our friend. You are here to wake up the conscience of many. Our Imam showed us how to make it in the land of plenty. You should not be enslaved by any kind of arrogance or selfishness. Haven't we been blessed with our consciousness? Our Imam humbles himself, made prostration in his soul to God, sharing what he knew. God made him the person he was, and that was what he took great pride in. Like Father Abraham, maybe Allah took him as a friend. He cherished that more than anything else. God didn't want us to live in poverty. Just build the institution we need. Allah is helping us. We should be grateful for Imam W.D. Muhammad and all of us. Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, and we want to welcome Mahasan Abdul Salam. Give a little background noise. Mahasan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, as-salamu alaykum. And Imam Kareem is disconnected, looking for him to call back in, but he's out of the switchboard. Have you heard the reading, the last reading that the Imam made?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to make a comment?
Oh, I certainly would. Thank you so much, Brother Michael. I'm having, out of body experience, sort of like as we are involved in the reading. And I don't say that to create a mysterious situation, but something that continues to be evident in Imam Muhammad's Ramadan session is in connecting our minds. I noticed that that's a subtle type of impact that percolates through his commentary and tafsir. He seems always to be in his sharing the information he was giving initially. He was giving it only to the imams, right? They were invited to the Ramadan sessions for instructional purposes. And he did, I don't know how many people watched the Star Trek series, but there used to be something that was very indicative of how even the prophet, and I believe it was Allah's intended procedure, connected with those he was teaching and sharing the revelation. He had the job as a messenger to do that, not only receive the revelation, make sure that it reached its target on whom Allah was, or what circumstances and personages Allah was directing the revelation to. So the prophet was gifted with the ability to do that. They called it on Star Trek mind meld. And it used to occur between the captain and the one with the ears. I'm losing his name right now. Right? And they used to position their fingers, just like Imam Muhammad did when he says, words make people, or man is mind. He would put his pointer fingers on each side of his temples, on his face. And that is an iconic picture that we cherish and preserve today. A picture is often said is worth a thousand words. So I'm gathering that as we go through this beautiful tafsir, beautiful commentary, beautiful insights and reflections, that this is actually what Imam Muhammad, by the grace of Allah, was blessed to do with us. And the question, Dave, Michael, Nathan?
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm back.
Walaikum as-salam, Brother Kareem. Michael had invited me in to share. And
yes,
so
can
you hear us?
Loud and clear. Unfortunately, my phone ran out of power, praise to Allah, and I plugged it in to restore that power, praise be to Allah. So where are we in the presentation,
Brother Kareem, Michael had invited me in to make comment and share.
No, praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I look forward. Thank you. But thank you for that.
Allah, so I'm in the middle of it right now, what I was sharing, but we're happy that you've been able to rejoin us. We thank Allah, because I was telling Michael I was having sort of an out-of-body experience when I noticed that there's a level of connection in the commentary insights that you were sharing. Very interesting connection in terms of the likeness of the mind, likeness of the thinking. So the saying that I noticed as we read through this, that is constantly happening, that the mind, by Allah's leave and power, has connected those of us who were sincere and urgently interested in what Imam Muhammad brought to us, there was a definite mind connection. And I said, if that is something in your last paragraph where you were reading about the Bible, what was interesting to me, and then I'm going to try to condense this so you can go on with your reading. What was interesting to me is what I felt as a child. My mother was a missionary woman, so she had obligations to teach the women in the church. And she also taught Sunday school, so she had the obligation to work with the children. And since I was a child, I was always very interested in the things that my mother and the women in my family used to share about religion and about God. And it was very interesting. So, but when it came time for me to be brought along in this tradition and to read the Bible, prepare myself, and be prepared to be a teacher in the church, one of the things that bothered me was that the Bible would present us with stories about the other prophets, about the religious personalities, and talked about things that were happening to show the impact of God's guidance in the biblical sense. It seemed a bit confusing to me. Some things seemed to come out of nowhere, not make any sense, and have no relationship to other truths that the Bible was saying. And I would still pursue it to try to understand it so that I could be prepared to teach it and address anyone's questions. That persisted through my life up until I came into contact with Al-Islam. And so it made me the kind of confusion that the Bible represented to me made me continue to search for that truth that I felt only God had the ability to give us. And my journey led me, after I married and had children and I desired a way of life for my children, that Christianity didn't seem to captivate and give me. And so I was like Hajar, running between the two hills. I was running between the whole truth, and then the nothing but the truth. Right? I didn't know it at that time. And Allah took hold. Well, he probably never didn't have hold of our lives. He was always near, like he said, but I experienced him entering me into a situation where I kept meeting Muslims. I didn't know that they were Muslims. I didn't even know what Al-Islam was, but they all had seemed to be in sync with a certain level of wisdom. And in our casual social interaction, this theme would come up. And so this took place for about 3 years. I kept meeting these people who piqued my curiosity when they spoke of certain religious phenomenon. And on this journey of 3 years, during the last year, I began to get it. I began to, by Allah's leave, see that there was an external power pushing me in a certain direction. And it was shortly thereafter that those experiences happened in greater frequency, to where, you know, one would say, oh, I get it now. I understand. And I began to feel satisfied in spending more time with people who were of the Muslim consciousness and extract. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. I'm going to slow down and let you continue your reading. But I wanted to share that because other people might be experiencing that same phenomenon in this.
That's right.
I
agree.
And I want them to, what we used to say, go with the flow. I want them to be peaceful and not afraid and not feeling that they have to either choose one or the other. In my class here at the Senior Center, I often have to reinforce with them, I'm not here to convert you. I'm not, right? I'm here out of obligation to my Lord and my leadership. This, he revealed the Quran for all mankind. So you're mankind just like I am. And I've been given a certain type of gift in storytelling. I'm accepting that now. And I'm obligated to share the Quran with you in a manner that you can understand it, right? And benefit from it and use it, as you were saying before, Brother Kareem, as an advancement of our lives. That's what Imam Muhammad wanted us to understand, is that in terms of leadership, he said that here it is. He says that the bond of Iman, faith, trust, and our prophet as the Al-Amin. What is the role of faith, and how important is the role of faith in the Muslim society? And the last one I have here before we have Shura is understanding what is the significance of this statement of the Prophet requiring Muslims to learn and teach the Quran. What should we be doing? Yeah. And so this emphasis is so strategic in our understanding of our created purpose, because each of us, no matter how different we are in our interests and the gifts that Allah has given us, right, that the unity of our creation is this created purpose to learn and to teach the Quran so we can advance our leadership. So I'll stop right there. Inshallah. So powerful. So powerful.
Yes.
I want to return back to. I want to return back to the commentary of Imam Muhammad at the Ramadan study session. And I'm grateful for everyone's input, and your sharing is most helpful and for bringing clarity to the subject matter. Praise be to Allah. I'm going to start at the previous chapter, but in the last three sentences. And Imam Muhammad says, and they are always kind of showering. Speaking of those hints, my commentary, speaking of those hints of a coming liberation, they are always kind of shrouded, not real clear. In the Old Testament, they get a little clear, not very clear. And I think the religious people were really protecting themselves because the script, the Bible, was subject to man's hands, not to a long be established. That's the next heading. So,
Imam, I want to ask Mohassan to mute her phone. It's very sensitive.
Mohassan, can you mute your phone? I think it is muted. I'm not sure. I don't see. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm muting it now. Okay, praise be to Allah. Mahasan, if you would press 1 on your phone, that way I can identify your number. It moves you at the top of the studio board, if you would, please. Okay, praise be to Allah. Now, and I think the religious people were really protecting themselves because the scripture, the Bible, was subject to man's hand. So it came from inspired prophets, but it got into man's hand, and man put it so he could avoid the firing squad or the noose or something, or being rounded up and put in jail. So they shrouded it all up. They didn't want the political establishment or the government to be upset or shaken by what was promised them in their religion. So when they are talking about the Messiah, the promised one, the liberator, they keep him shrouded, and very seldom is he really clearly presented. When he's clearly presented, he's presented in a way so they not be afraid. He's going to be one coming to reconcile people with God. He's all about spiritual matters and stuff like that, obedience to God and stuff like that, about getting the subjects to respect their masters, be obedient to their masters, and give Caesar his share and all that, not to alarm the establishment, to make them think, this might be good for us. This might be all right. So it's mentioned that there's one that's going to be very victorious with 10,000 saints. And it so happened that they used the number 10,000 for the people that the prophet had in conquest, 10,000 soldiers. I don't think that 10,000 is actual. It's prophetic. It's symbolic. Who counted? They just look at the sign. They say, and on his thigh was written, let me say that again. They say, and on his thigh was written, faithful and true, Iman, true and trustworthy, on his thigh. What is the thigh? The thigh is the muscle you need to stand up with, the powerful muscle that lifts you up on your feet. Isn't that what we need in society? The force that establishes society has to be loyal, faithful, truthful. That was Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he depended on to stand up the Islamic society, it was all clean, pure, true, honest, open, sincere, worthy of the people's trust. We have to see the prophet in a progression, in the final progression, progression of scripture, or the office of the prophet, the prophethood. When he speaks of himself to give the believer knowledge of himself as a prophet, he presented himself as a last step, or last progression, the final progression in the line or life of the prophets, and he used a house. For the concept, yeah, and he used a house. For the concept, to give it concept, he said it was like a house was being built, but there was one block missing, right? He said, and he was that block. So the correct concept of the prophet cannot be had unless we see the prophet as a happening and a progression and the final progression. We want to meet on the bombing, that incident, Trade Center bombing, and they are competing with each other now. You have different groups of Muslims outside the U.S., whether they are nationalized as U.S. citizens or not. They are not indigenous like us. People like we are, or Americans, regular Americans, they are people who came from the other land, Muslims here, and some of them don't even have citizenship here. They are just here. They have several groups. They can't get together. They oppose each other. They are not united. They are divided against each other. And there is a few of them that are strong groups, well established, and they are competing with each other to see who will have influence in America over the Muslim community in America. And you know who they look at when they think of Muslim community in America? And you know it's a whole lot of them over here, a whole lot of Indians, a whole lot of Arabs. They are looking at us, not to say. I don't mean to say they are ignoring the Pakistani community or any of the others. No, they are not ignoring them. But who are they focusing on? Us. They are focusing right on us, and it's like a free-for-all. And they are coming in to eat and dine on us upon season to dine on, open season, pardon, open season to dine on us, competing with each other to see who's going to get this feast, who's going to get this dinner. They're working hard, and they underestimate our intelligence. The Department of Religion at the embassy of the Royal Saudi Embassy in Washington, they are opposed to Islam. They never voiced it, but they are in some kind of competition with the Saudi-backed efforts in America to propagate Islam in America or to represent the Islamic community in America. They're in competition with each other. Those are the main two right now. I can see Islam and Department of Religion at the embassy, the Royal Saudi Embassy. They are late. They just came here. The Saudis, but already figure themselves as the one who would be in control of what happens here. Islamically, in America, with us. Let me read that again. Get the right cadence. They are deceitful. Yeah. They are late. They just came here. The Saudis, but already they figure themselves as the one who should be in control of what happens here, Islamically in America. They already think of themselves as that. I'm telling you, they are deceitful, Saudi and Islam. They are not honest with us. You got some good ones among them, but on the whole, they are not honest with us. They underestimate our intelligence. They are sneaky. We'll see what happens. We have to take it one step at a time, as they say. We'll see what happens Sunday. We have to be aware of what we are dealing with, of who we are dealing with, who we are communicating with. These people have, as their number one objective in America, the establishment of themselves as the qualified and true, legitimate voice for Muslims and also leaders. They never accept us as leaders, not even the leaders of ourselves. They never accept us as leaders of ourselves. They won't welcome you into their circle. You know, Ibrahim is a demon, some of you. He came from Egypt. Some of you got to know him. He was in contact with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and was trying to influence Akbar, my youngest brother. He had influenced him, I guess. He and other people were influencing Jabber, Herbert, my brother. Herbert, John Ali mainly, the family and those close with the family. He was influencing them. When I became the leader, he came from Egypt. came over here to the office on Storley Island, got an appointment to sit down and to talk to me personally. He sat down, and he said, I could see he was dissatisfied because irritation was showing on his face. He said, we prefer that a leader be qualified and also be a good person. But if we don't have, the qualifications, we'll go along with the good person. We were looking at your brother, Akbar, telling me, you're ignorant. You haven't got any institutions. You have no education. And we've got to tolerate you because God has put the good guy in. Because there was no intelligent person or no learned person around. So God put the good one in. We'll tolerate you. But what we want is the intelligent person, the schooled person. So he said, talking to me like I'm a baby and I don't know anything. He said, religion, what has to be done here is to establish the religion like your father wanted to do, but he couldn't do it. He had faith in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that his intentions were good. He said, but he couldn't do it. So right now that's over. What we have to do is establish what your father couldn't do. But now it's time to do it. The Shahada, five pillars, you know. So he said, the Shahada. I said, yes, the Shahada or Shahada Tank. I was saying to him, I wanted to tell him that. I don't know what's on your mind, but I also witnessed that Muhammad was the last prophet. So I said, the Shahada Tank. And he stopped and said, here I am. I'm the scholar. And you have corrected me. He said, you are correct. It is Shahada Tank. And I don't know. I guess that one thing I said to him, it kind of relaxed him. But he still had that opinion. And that's this world. If this world doesn't see you with a certificate that they give you, they don't have any respect for you. They don't respect you. They'll tolerate you. They'll flatter you, put up with you. They'll praise you like they praise children, like they praise something abnormal. Wow. He really did that? Well, we have to acknowledge it, that he really did do it. But they won't welcome you into the circle and give you the respect they give each other, and they praise me now. Most of the praise they give me now is to set us up, to make us relax and think that they have chosen me as you all's leader, and then get with you in secret, and it's a whole different language. Are you hearing this, Michael?
If I may, I want to comment on it. Because I observed that. I was imam in Birmingham, and they wanted us to sign a contract in order to get finances, supposedly to help the Birmingham Masjid. And I told them that it was our custom to receive zakat, you know, and that we weren't interested in signing any contract. But if they wanted to make contributions to the work, that was fine. And this was during a time when most of those Muslims who were from other countries living in Birmingham, their focus was on a graveyard, a place where they could be buried Islamically. And our focus was on Islamic education. And so I'm sensitive to the fact that this AM360.org platform is going across America and outside of America, and some of them connected with this kind of mindset may be listening. But you know, the truth is the truth. This was a private Ramadan session, so to speak. But since we're putting it out there on the main line, I just wanted to share the fact that we had this mindset, and we began to see it every year, where certain governments wanted to identify with a unified Ramadan, which is much smaller focus than the focus that we have in terms of helping human beings identify with God's word and their responsibility to be true human beings. But there was this focus which got certain governments in a lot of trouble because they wanted to be the first to sight the moon, and I called it majoring in minors, you know. But you still have that kind of mindset that want to, and it didn't just start in the 20th century. You know, I'm familiar with the founder of our Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. He was aware of Arabian governments wanting to dominate the religion overall, and he shared that with our leadership. And so we have these challenges. I'll conclude with this. We're dealing with social challenges, and we're dealing with this kind of mindset that wants to dictate to people rather than let the word of God dictate. So we just have to meet the challenges with seeking Allah's help to be the best Muslims and the best human beings we can be. And I'll stop there.
Praise to Allah. Mahasa?
Assalamualaikum. Yes.
Your line is open.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Imam Michael. So profound, the analogy that you're sharing and the perception, the clarified perception of, like we say today, the children say, what's really going on, right? And this is, it's so beautiful to me that Allah is Akbar. In other words, there is nothing, no scheme, however subtle or however obvious Allah allows it to be, that goes undetected by Allah. And he shares that clarity with whom he pleases. He gives to whom he pleases, and he withholds from whom he pleases. Why? Because he is the all-knowing God. He knows that which is open and that which is secret. He knows that which is clear and that which is concealed, all in one vision. That's a decidedly different, unearthly, non-human capacity that God created for himself, in himself. And he asked us to trust that, to navigate our lives, manage our lives. Don't try to manage our lives without him.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. So we can see, and then I'll stop. So we can see that when we make dua, oh Allah, please make of my life what you want it to be. What you prefer
it
to
be. I got about 4 minutes, Mahasa.
All right. I'll wind down. Thank you. And stop. And inshallah, we can continue next week. That this is not an idle prayer. It is a dua made for protection, really. Because
praise
there are things happening around us that we can't see, but Allah can see. And he gave us Imam W. Dean Muhammad to as his agent, vicegerent, as he says, so that he can guide us if we trust him. we trust him. Inshallah.
Yes, praise be to Allah. Yes, I'm
thank
under
you.
the pressure of time, you know. And I want to end this broadcast, inshallah, on time. I can't utilize the grace period. I have other obligations.
Okay.
Yeah. Praise be to Allah. You know, you see how when the imam, Dr. Izzedine mentioned the Shahada, the imam stated to him, Shahada came.
Yes.
And Izzedine said, here I am, a scholar. You are correct. It is Shahada came. And I don't know, I guess that one thing I said to him, it kind of relaxed him. But he still has that opinion, and that's this
yes.
world. If this world doesn't feed you with a certificate that they give you, they don't have any respect for you.
That's true.
They do not respect you. So praise be to Allah. We don't want to be like that, you know.
This was a warning.
Allah
to
has given all
our
intellect. And we are grateful to have our intellect formed by the words of the Quran and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad and all that comes with that. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to those of you that attend the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. I hope it is rewarding to you as it is to us. This is most rewarding. Praise be to Allah. The Imam didn't hold back anything. He completely
Imam
gave Kareem. All that he had to give us. So praise be to Allah.
Imam Kareem, would you permit me
yeah.
to give a dua when you're ready to conclude?
Well, yes. Go ahead now. Go ahead. That's alhamdulillah.
All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Ameen.
Ameen. As-salamu alaykum to everyone. We pray that the Hajj have a successful Hajj and that they return back to their homes safe. Praise be to Allah.
Ameen.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Eid Mubarak.